Blog Talk Radio.
Monday to happy Thursday to everyone. Off to a rough start already. No, but happy Thursday to everyone, and welcome to Issues Concerning Women, the radio show. I am your host tonight, Veronica McMillan. I will be flying solo tonight because Francine Humphrey has her skates on and doing a thousand things in the community, so she will not be joining us tonight. But of course, yours truly. I think I can hold the reins. I think I can hold the reins for tonight's show. And I have a very interesting show tonight. But before we even get into that, let me basically tell you a little bit about Issues Concerning Women, the radio show. For those of you all who listen to us every week, you know you're going to hear the same thing over and over again, but that's what we do. We repeat the same thing over and over for people to get it. And I want to say thank you all for coming on the show every week, listening to the show in the archives, and most of you all listen by way of the archives, and so thank you so very much for showing up for us. So Issues Concerning Women is basically really, it's the brainchild of Francine. I say that every time I get that opportunity to say it. This is something that was birthed from her, and it says Issues Concerning Women focuses on women and their families reaching long and short-term goals, assisting them in areas of business, career, housing, finance, and life skills. And then, of course, the micro nonprofit. That was my brainchild, y'all. It was founded by Veronica McMillan to help small nonprofits to become foundationally strong. And we're expanding that also to include home-based child care providers, so not just nonprofits. So we expanded a little bit more, expanded our mission more. So our goal is coaching, mentoring, and helping them in terms of their 501c3 organization. We offer advocacy service to infuse and stabilize households and foster a sense of community involvement, self-worth, and self-determination. The community involvement is more important now than ever before, because of the state of the world that we're in. Our vision is to empower women through hands-on demonstration, details of home ownership, career development, investing for the retirement, exercise, nutrition, entrepreneurship, relationship building, and adult literacy program. And last week we had someone to call in, and they were saying, the gentleman wanted to know, all right, we're going to do anything on relationship building between two people. And so, you know, that sparked my attention when he called in, and certainly we want to do that. We want to make sure that men who listen to our show feel like this is a show that offers them something as well. And anytime that you're building relationships is important. And then we are dedicated to making a difference in our community. Our mission is to create economic for all women and men and families by providing a voice to those that would not otherwise be heard. ICW was created to encourage all to take charge of their lives and to become educated and savvy about all aspects of their lives. If you want to connect with Francine, certainly you can connect with her at icwdirector@gmail.com, or you can just go to the website at issuesconcerningwomen.org. And then, of course, if you need to connect with me, you can go to our website at themicrononprofitnetwork.org. Or email info@micrononprofitnetwork.org. I stopped giving my telephone number out simply because I think if you do your due diligence, you'll get all the information you need when you go to our website. Francine and I are both getting a bunch of crazy shenanigans with people. It's just a crazy space sometimes that we're in, the world is in right now. And so definitely only serious inquiries is what I'm trying to say and what I'm saying. And so definitely if you want to reach out to us, certainly do so, and certainly I will be connecting with everybody that I can, and I know that Francine will be doing this thing, but we want to just make sure that we're talking to grown folks when we do that. So enough about that, and I'll make a announce again the information on how you can connect with us before all of this is over. But since we only have a half an hour, and I probably have spent about five of them talking already, but I cannot move on without basically saying, let us pray for Ukraine, and let us be in remembrance of what this little tiny country is doing when they're being bombarded by Russia in the bombs and the missiles and all of the things that's going on, and how they're standing for their country, and they're putting up a good fight. And I know on the news we're seeing stuff, and we're seeing families, because I was just riding down the street the other day, and I thought about that. I was looking around and looking at the houses and the streets, and I thought about, what will we be doing if our homes were obliterated? What will we be doing, and where will we be if whole streets and communities and apartment buildings and hospitals and all of that stuff would be gone in an instant? I don't think sometimes because we see the news, but are we engaging and being prayerful for these individuals who basically is getting bombarded, but they are putting up a really, really, really good fight. And I know Russia wasn't thinking that Ukraine was going to be this tough. I'm assuming that they thought they Ukraine were just going to just roll over and play dead, but they did not. They are fighting back, and so I'm just really proud of what I'm seeing, because of the fact that we know Russia's intent has always been evil. It's always been ugly, and it's always been something for hurt and harm, and unfortunately, families are paying the price for that. Children are paying the price for that. And it's just crazy. And so I really, really want us to be in prayer for Ukraine, because it's important that we stand together with this little country who's really, really, really showing the world that they're just not going to just lie down and just let Russia just take their country from them without a fight. So just, again, just wanted to mention that. And then, of course, the shenanigans that's going on with our sister Kajandi Jackson. I'm sure I didn't say her name correctly, but I'm saying it because I sit as a Black woman so proud of her. Usually I don't really watch TV to the point where I'm looking at confirmations and all the stuff that goes on with the politics and all that stuff, because it does get a little bit old after a while. It gets redundant. It gets divisive. It gets real ugly, and we know that. But I could not help but find myself literally searching for her and looking for information and looking at all the news channels, because the two things that the headlines, of course, is the war in Ukraine and her confirmation and what is going on and the circus that is going on. So let me start with my proud moment, and that's really what I think that I wanted to spend some time tonight as we talk about this, as we basically look at this African American, this woman of pride, this woman of stature, this woman of intelligence, this woman that is a family woman, this woman that's a woman of faith, this woman that's making every brown and Black girl around the country and some white women and girls be very proud of a woman being in that position and being able to be called the first, to be in that position where she is going to be on the Supreme Court, hearing cases, because her track record speaks for what she's done over the time period that she's been a judge, and then to be able to get into this position and to be so stately and eloquent and so poised in what she was saying and being calculated in her delivery and her answers, because she knew that basically everything would be twisted, things would be taken out of context. She knew that, and so she was poised in the way she answered her questions, flustered at a bit at times, and we could see that, but she never lost her composure. And to me, that is a proud sister moment, and I will be forever talking about this 52-year-old Black woman who the world is seeing in a different light, who's been cast to be somebody that let people off and that let, the pornographers and all of this. It's ludicrous, the stuff that was said. And I was like, nope. Let me begin this show with saying kudos, hats off, celebrating that Sister Jackson, because she is a world changer. She's making difference in the world for little Black girls and women my age and women that have gone before. Our ancestors would be so proud of this sister. And today I found myself just saying, man, I really wish I could just reach out to her, have a conversation with her, let her know what she's done for me, this soon-to-be 62-year-old woman, watching her do her thing and being able to do it the way that she did it. It was absolutely wonderful, you all. And I know I'm getting a little bit hyped. I almost got emotional saying this to you all because of what she's had to endure. And they're saying that it looks like that she's going to be able to have the votes. And my prayer is that nothing gets in the way of that, and that we don't have the circus that we had, as we saw, and what's happening in you know, behind closed doors and secret meetings and things that's going on with people who really don't want to see a Black woman take her stand, that really don't want to see a Black woman to be in a position like that, and to see a Black woman. You cannot take away her power nor the essence of who she is, because she is a strong woman. It's just wonderful, y'all. And so I know I have spent almost 15 minutes literally just talking about that. But let me get on with my other stuff, because it's 30 minutes and we don't have a lot of time, and so I want to kind of get to it. So that was my proud moment, my view of that moment of how I felt for her. Now let me talk about my sad moment. And I think lots of people are talking about the sad moment. So the sad moment would be the character assassination that specifically Senator Lindsey Graham, that woman. I don't even know her name. Of course, you all know I'm going to get to that. And then that other fool that was there, those three. Now, there were others that were there and that were doing it, but that circus between those three, I don't even know how they got to, but let me slow myself down and say I do know how they got there, because there is a segment of the country who feels that she's not worthy of that position, who feels as though because of her Black skin, and that's the only reason, that she doesn't deserve that position. But again, I think Cory Booker summed it up when he was saying, God put you there. And then they even want to attack with him saying, God put you there. What you mean by that? What we mean is that there is a spiritual power greater than anybody that was on in that circus. There's a spiritual power called God that's greater than any of them, and that this is God's moment in time for this sister to come to the forefront. And so we know that it was racist remarks, and that they wouldn't get off of it. It was brutal. It was a verbal lynching. And they were doing everything. I was listening to Whoopi Goldberg, and while Whoopi was saying, okay, ask the questions. Ask whatever questions that you want. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to make it hard for her. But she said the tone that they were using and the finger pointing, we as Black folk, we know what that means. We know that that's a belittling way. Like, we want to make sure that we keep you in your place. And then so that tone, and then when you come back and you ask them about what they did, she didn't answer my question, said Lindsey Graham. It was just a sad moment for me, because I literally wanted someone to slap Lindsey Graham. I really did. I was just so, it was just, oh my goodness. It was just crazy. And I know for those of you all who listen to our show on a weekly basis, Francine and I, we basically are very, very clear about our feelings about certain things. We try not to get into the political wranglings, but we have to stand behind this sister because we believe in what she's doing and what she has done and what she will continue to do. And then the remarks and the criticism about who she was, And her ability to judge, and she just kept bringing it back. She kept bringing it back. And then I wanted to just really talk a little bit about this. Our country, we have racial issues that's been going on for a while. And it seems as though, to me, this is Veronica McMillan's personal opinion, it seems to me that when President Obama left the office, and the office went to another president, things seemed to go sour real quick. And it seems to me, this is my personal opinion, that there were divisive things going on, and race relationships took a deep dive. That if there was any bridging of race relationships, I believe, in my opinion, that all of that mostly fell apart because of what has gone on and how hate crimes has gone up, not just against African Americans, but against Jews and Asians, and white supremacy groups have just kind of amped up because they felt as though that this was their country and that who were black people to basically come to this country and think that they deserve anything. And so our race relationships, I believe, taken a dive. And I think it is going to be important that those of us who believe in mending relationships, who believe in stretching our hands out across the aisle and saying, what can we do? What can we do in terms of our conversations on both sides? So that everybody has this space and place where they feel like they're being heard, not attacked, because I'm not in that space where I think we should be attacking people and fighting and throwing stuff and doing crazy stuff. I'm not in that space, but I do think that that the space sometimes can get uncomfortable. I remember, I guess it was the earlier part of this year, myself and another colleague, we sat with the Virginia Beach police as they were doing some training on racial impartiality, impartial policing and all of that stuff. And at times when we were all there, it did get a little comfortable for both sides, but both sides remained respectable and honored each other and came away, I believe, more empowered, more educated about how to do it. Now, it doesn't mean that this thing is going to go away overnight, but I do think that we should have that opportunity to be able to sit down together and talk without it being critical and violent and volatile and violent and uncaring and really hurtful toward people on both sides of the table. And when I say both sides of the table, I'm saying basically a side that doesn't agree and a side that don't agree and sides that agree, being able to talk it out and do it in a way that's civil, then you come away with, you've expanded my knowledge. My conscience has been elevated as a result of the conversation, because that's what it was for us when we left that training with the Virginia Beach Police. But what I know has to happen is that we're going to have to begin these conversations again and again and again and again, and then from the conversation move to a baby action step. Because if all we're doing is conversating, we're not moving the dial. But we know during this hour, during this period, over the last, let's say back 4 years ago, we know that a lot of ground was lost, and now we're having to pick up the speed again. We have to be in almost like an accelerated state because of the fact of what is going on in the country right now. So we really, 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 I think, have to build race relationships again. And how do we do that? That's going to take all of us to do it. We cannot sit on the side and say, oh, it's all the politicians, because we already see on both sides, Democrats and Republicans, there's a lot of shenanigans going on. There's a lot of showboating going on. There's a lot of, I want to be, you know, in this seat for a long time, and so let me cater to my base, or let me cater to a particular group. We got to really look at how are we going to help one another, and it is so important that we do. So that's my sad moment. So let me get back over here to issues concerning women, the radio show, and how you can connect with Francine Humphrey. You can connect with her at icwdirector@gmail.com, or you can go to the website at issuesconcerningwomen.org. I think Francine said that they're doing a upgrade on her website, and then I think we're going to be doing a little bit of upgrades on ours as well. And so if you need to go to our website, it's micrononprofitnetwork.org, all one word, or you can just email us at info@micrononprofitnetwork, and we will be surely getting back to you. And so one more thing before I end this little segment and go into a great conversation that I heard. I think we got about 9 more minutes, so I'm going to try to do all of this in this 9-minute time period that I have. But there was one senator that really got on my nerves, and for those of you all who watched it, well, because it's coming on all the news, and everybody, she said, what is your definition of a woman? And Judge Jackson was looking like, is she asking me that question? She really was, I think she was taken back by the question, and she goes, yes, what is your definition of a woman? And so I say to you all who are listening to us on a weekly basis, email me. Will you please email me and tell me what is your definition as a woman? Because I was sitting here thinking, when she said it, of course, I'm like, have I ever given the definition of a woman? And she was, again, Judge Jackson was so careful with that in her basically being able to say that, because I know that they were trying to probably bring into that transgender stuff. They were trying to bring in basically what constitutes a woman, what constitutes a man, and all of that stuff. And so she was real careful with that. And then I started today as I was driving, it popped into my mind as well as, what is my definition of a woman? And then as I was driving, I said, possibly I said feminine energy. That was the only definition that I could come up with. And I know we could talk about the biological part and all of that stuff and a female part, all that stuff. We could talk about all of that. But what is the definition of a woman? And so that's great conversations, you all. I think women around the world should have that conversation, because I think what they were trying to do is get her in that space of talking about, well, are you a woman if you were born a man and then had surgery to become a woman? I think they were trying to push it in that direction. Oh, but this sister, oh, my goodness, y'all, I'm going to get excited again. How proud I was of her, how she handled that. And then listening to the commentary after that about how even some lawyers were saying that, you know, That question in itself is greater than what we're saying, is more than just a skim over in terms of the definition of a woman. And I think we should be having those conversations as well, conversations about what is or what is the definition of woman. And then lastly, just to get off of that and to end this with some conversation about boomers and Gen Zs. I was looking through, you know, this is kind of how I found this little clip. I was looking through Facebook, and then there was some commentary, two groups talking, boomers, who basically is my age group, and then the Gen Zs, the ones that's my granddaughter's age, in their 20s and so on. And what they were saying is, what each group gave them and what each group possibly, if you will, for lack of a better word, sort of kind of damaged each other. They said that the boomers primarily, what did the boomers give Gen Zs? is it Gen Z's? I think it's Gen Z's. It could be X or whatever, but whatever. It's this younger generation, and they have this kind of dialogue going back and forth, and I was so intrigued because I didn't even think about it from the hey, when we came along, one of the gentlemen was saying, you could get with the company and work 30 or 40 years. You got out, you had a pension, you got your little Social Security. You was for sure a job. But for this younger generation, that's not happening. And then I don't think that there's that loyalty to a specific organization or company like it was back in the day. Because, again, there was a time when a company was around that long and they could give all of that stuff. Now, with this generation, they're gigging. And when this conversation started, I'm looking like, that is so true. That is so true. And so it's not apples to apples anymore. And so we have to look at that. And then they came up with this question, can we trust the generations? Can boomers trust Z's and can Z's trust boomers? And that there was a lady that said, no, I cannot trust this generation because I don't think that they know who they are. And then there was the one on the other side said the same thing. I don't think I can trust the boomers because of the fact that basically that you all sort of kind of living in an unrealistic world in terms of the things that you all believe in because you've given us so many things that we got to deal with now. And I think basically what's happening is it really is just a sign of the times. One gentleman said every generation, whichever generation that you fall in, every generation inherited some good and inherited some bad. And when we think about this generation now, the technology that they have and the things that they can do with that technology is their advantage. And they talked about how this generation, boomers, really kind of have failed in terms of the debt that is coming on to this younger generation and this young generation not being prepared for that. They talked about the climate changes. It was just an interesting conversation, you all. And it prompted me to think of a radio program that I'm going to talk with Francine about where we're going to have boomers and Gen Z's talking about the same topic that the seasoned generation and the young generation coming together and saying, where have we failed each other? And really, do we trust each other? Because that's so important. And how are we going to be able to mend our fences? How are we going to be able to bridge the gap? And I think really it is wisdom going out and wisdom coming in on both sides of the table, because it's so important for this generation to know that, yes, the elders have passed on some things that wasn't so good, but also the elders have passed on some things that are very good. And we're going to have to figure out those things that are important for both of us, for both generations, and figure out how do we stay in this space together, because that's what's important. We got to stay in this space. We're in this together. We're in this together, so we got to figure out how to do it. So we're coming to the end of this show, y'all. I could talk more and more and more and more about that, but I'm really serious about that, y'all. So if you need to connect with Francine, you can connect with her at icwdirector@gmail.com, or you can go to the website at issuesconcerningwomen.org and find out more about issues concerning women. If you need to connect with me, you can connect with me at info@the Micro Nonprofit Network. Or you can just go to our website and get information about what we're doing in the community, how we're supporting the community. But I believe these community conversations are an absolute must. We cannot go on without it. We got to figure out how are we going to love each other. And again, I just want to say congratulations to Judge Jackson. You did a wonderful job. We are most proud of you, my sister. So with that said, we're going to see you all again next Thursday at 6:30 p.m. It has been a wonderful time talking with you all tonight. Have a great night. Bye-bye now.